And I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning in the book of Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, a passage of God's Word that God has laid upon my heart for the service this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, and we'll commence reading at verse number 1. The first verse, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early into the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. Saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I know that in our lives at times that people can question, is it worth it? I know the devil comes sometimes to God's children and we go through hard and difficult parts of the journey of life. And when they're down in the valley experience, the old devil says, you know, it's not worth it. It's not really worth serving Jesus Christ when you have to go through those difficulties, face those trials, and go down and descend into those valleys, or have to climb those high mountains, and all the stress that comes therewith. We sing the chorus, of course, it shall be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look on his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So glad that we run the race. When we see Christ. And sometimes, you know, the devil would suggest to us, you might as well go back because it's not worth it. I want to speak to you this morning. Is it worth serving Jesus? Or does it pay to serve Christ? I want you to notice here the chapter 20 of the book of Matthew's Gospel. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling a story here. It's a real life story. The Lord Jesus takes a real-life illustration and he explains this great biblical truth. But of course, to get the backcloth of this story, you've got to go into the previous chapter. Because remember, those who were in the prayer meeting on Thursday night, remember, I said to you, whenever God gave his word, there were no chapter divisions, there were no verse divisions. And so therefore, it's first to understand the backcloth or the background of the passage here that is given to us in chapter 20. You will find the backcloth or the background when you go into the chapter 19. And when you go back there, you find in verse number 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so we find the backcloth of this story is the backcloth of a young man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He runs to the master, he falls at the feet of the master. Here's a young Jewish lad, And he falls at the feet of this rabbi, this teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he falls at his feet and he asks him a very challenging question. He said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may have," or in another of the passages it said, "that I may inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus looked into the face and into the heart of this young man. And the Lord Jesus knew that there was a God in his life. The Lord Jesus knew that there was a God of money, that money had an improper place in this young man's life. And the Lord said, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." In other words, the Lord Jesus was looking into the heart of this young man, and he was telling this young man that he had got to dethrone the God that was already in his life. And he had to turn away from the love of his life. If he was going to gain eternal life, he must be willing to give up the love and the God that was already there. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're not saved. Can I suggest to you that there's already a love in your life? There's already a God on the throne of your life. And friend, let me tell you, no matter how you look at it, if you're going to be saved, you've got to repent of your sin, you've got a change of heart and a change of mind concerning that God which is in your life. If you're going to really know the Lord and seek the Lord and walk with God. In this young man's life, it was money. And God looked into his heart, the Lord Jesus looked into his eyes, but he looked deeper. And he looked into his heart and he saw on the throne of his heart this love for money. And it was the thing that was keeping him from the Lord. Let me ask you a question before we move on. What's the thing that's keeping you from loving Jesus? What's the thing, my friend? Maybe even God's child, could I ask you, is there something in your life that's keeping you from serving Jesus? Putting the Lord Jesus first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what tells us this young man went away sorrowful. This young man, verse 22, it says, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And as he walks away from the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to notice there were two reactions. Because as he walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Bible said in another of the passages that the Lord loved him. And the Lord's heart was touched. And the Lord's heart was broken because here was a young man and he saw the potential of his life. What a difference if he would give up the God of his life and let the Lord Jesus take over and take the reins of his life and to rule his life. And the Lord Jesus looked at the young man as he walked away, and the young man was sorrowful. And I believe the heart of Christ was sad and broken, because he saw the potential that was in that young man's heart. I would say to you, as it says in verse number 22, the young man heard the saying, he went away. And I would say to you this morning, my friend, don't go away from Jesus. No matter what else you do, my friend, don't go away from Christ. Don't walk away from Jesus. And I'll tell you this, there's nothing worth it. There is nothing in all the world, my friend, that is worth you walking or turning your back on the Son of God. Because you will never know life which is eternal if you walk away from Jesus. I want to say something about this young man just in passing. Because I believe the tragedy of this young man wasn't that he possessed many things. But I believe the tragedy of this young man was this, that the many things possessed him. The many things possessed him. And my friend, it's not that you have the things in your life, my friend, but you've made them the God of your life. You're putting them first. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He chose gold over God. He chose gold over God. What are you putting first? That's why, whatever it is, my friend, that's what's keeping you from being saved. Whatever you're choosing first. And I'll tell you this, it's not worth it to go away from Christ. You know, as the young man walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ made an observation to his disciples. If you go to verse 23, Jesus said unto his disciples, truly or verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It didn't mean that there'll be no rich people in heaven. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is observing is this, that it is difficult, there's a difficulty for a rich man to get to heaven because of his financial circumstances. Many a man, and friend, when his back was against the wall and had nothing, and he had nowhere else to turn, he had to cry out on God. And he saw his need, and he asked God to save him, deliver his life, and save his soul from hell. But you see, a rich man is so self-sufficient, he's arrogant, he's proud. He believes that he has need of nothing, he's just living for the moment, he's living for this time. He doesn't see his need of anything, or of anyone, and so the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, it is hard, it's with difficulty, that a rich man will get into heaven. And you know, it is hard to reach a rich man with the gospel, because I'll tell you, he feels he doesn't need anything. And as long as he has health and strength, he feels he has no need of God. You know, the Lord Jesus said that, he went on, verse 24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you see, when the Lord Jesus said that, the disciples were shocked, verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And you know, you see, my friend, in the Jewish philosophy, they believed that when a man was blessed with riches, that somehow this was a special blessing of God upon this man, or upon his family. In other words, God had given him a special blessing with riches. So the Lord Jesus said, listen, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when they heard that, they were absolutely amazed, because they thought this was blessing. This had to be a sign of God's blessing, because it was rich. And they said, then who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, verse 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let me tell you, my friend, only Jesus can save. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, you cannot pay your way to heaven. Your riches will never take you to heaven, friend. Your earthly position will never take you to heaven, because the rich man has got to come the same way as the poor man to get into heaven. And that's the way of the cross. That's the way of redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the richest man has got to admit his absolute poverty. Out of himself, he absolutely can do nothing to get to heaven, only through Jesus Christ. And they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, listen, with man this is impossible. Listen, man can't get anybody to heaven, friend, but with God all things are possible. Praise God, he's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. And sitting there listening to that, and Peter and the rest of the disciples, they had watched this rich young man and heard what the Lord Jesus Christ had said concerning this young man. Go to verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In other words, Lord, I want to tell you, what is it worth to us? What does it mean to us in the light of following Jesus? What are we going to get out of it? He said, Lord Jesus, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? In other words, what do we get out of it? And then Jesus Christ explains the worth or the reward of following him. Go to verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you. You notice it says, Jesus said unto them. Peter asked the question, but Jesus talked to them all. Because many times, you see, Peter, who was impetuous, Peter, he said what others were thinking. And so we find that Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold. Is it worth following Jesus? Praise God it is. My friend, we don't have a mangy God. We have a great God who has got a great heart. And the Bible says, every man that forsaketh houses, and every man that forsakes his brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, and you do it for my name's sake, listen, you don't lose by following Jesus. You receive a hundredfold. It's worth following Jesus. He shall receive a hundredfold. But listen, that's not the end of the story, friend. Read the next part of the verse. It says, he shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. That's what the young man had been asking in the first place, about eternal life. How do I get it? How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, this is the way, by following me. By following me. Friend, I want to say this morning, it does pay to serve the Lord Jesus a hundredfold. He says, you'll never lose in following Christ. And even when you're down in the valley, even when you're facing the difficult days, even when you're facing the hard times, and maybe, friends, you're going through battles, and my, there's storms in your life's experience, and the old devil comes and whispers in your ear, look at your life, look at the trials, look at the troubles, look at the difficulties, look at the storms, look at the winds and the billows. It's not worth it. It is. It's worth to follow Jesus. Because the Lord has promised that you'll receive a hundredfold. But praise God, listen, he says, follow me and your investment's safe. Your investment's safe. Your stock's not going to go down when you follow me. You can put your stock in other things, friend, let me tell you, and the bottom can fall out of the market. But praise God, he says, you follow me. You take up your cross and you follow me, and you'll never lose in following Jesus. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I've learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. You know, wasn't that what the young man had asked? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, this is the way. This is the path. Walk in. But friend, let me tell you, this is where the background is of this whole chapter 29. I believe that the Lord detected something in what Peter asked that day. The Lord Jesus detected a wrong spirit in Simon's questions. Because he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, verse 27, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Therefore. And in answer to his question, the Lord gives an illustration. And he takes them to a very ordinary story in chapter 29. He takes them to a story about a man who had got a vineyard. An householder who had got a vineyard. And he tells them and illustrates about hiring laborers to work in the fields. You'll notice if you go to verse number 2, it says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them into his vineyard. You see, he went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. And you know, even to this day, if you go to certain parts in the land of Israel, and certain in the Palestinian land as well, you will find that there are men who have got no work, but they will stand at a certain place in the morning, and they will stand there very early. They're men that are willing to work, but they've got no employment. And they're hoping that some man, some householder, or some person who has got work for them will actually employ them for the day. And you'll see them standing there, and you'll see them waiting, hoping that someone will come along. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. He's speaking about men that are standing early in the morning. And here is this man, and there's work to do in the vineyard fields. And he realizes that there's only a specific time to get the grapes, the fresh grapes, right, or brought in and harvested. And so therefore he goes out early in the morning and he sees laborers standing there. And we find that as he goes into that market, he offers them, or they come to the terms of their employment. Some people say the story indeed illustrates unfair labor practice. Let me tell you, my friend, you'll find that story doesn't illustrate this at all, because here is a gracious-hearted employer, not a hard-hearted employer. And so he enters into a contract with these men, and these men know exactly, it says there in verse number 2, when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them into his vineyard. In other words, they had agreed what they were to receive, and on the basis of the contract, on the basis of the agreement, they went into the harvest field of the vineyard. Go on to verse number 3, it says, he went about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. You see, they weren't employed. But they were standing there. Why were they standing, friend? They were standing there hoping for employment. They weren't lazy, or they would have been at home. But they were standing there, and the master said, listen, why stand ye idle in the marketplace? Notice verse 4, he says, go ye also into the vineyard, but there's no contract. They don't stand and they don't argue and they don't barter over a price here. This is what the master says. He says, whatsoever is right, I will give you. Before the first ones entered into the marketplace, they had the contract. But here we find these second people, they have the confidence. The confidence in the master. And all the master agreed with them, and all they agreed with him is just whatever is right. And then go down the rest of the verse number 5, and it says again, he went out the sixth hour, and then he went out the ninth hour, and he did likewise. In verse number 6 it says, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Listen, friend, listen to me carefully. Just before you criticize these men standing idle, just look at the answer. Oh, it's so easy to criticize, isn't it? And say these men are lazy. Look at the answer, verse number 7. They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. But friend, let me tell you, these were willing workers. These were men that were not standing idle because they wanted to be idle. Why would they stand? Listen, the 11th hour, in other words, the first hour was 6 o'clock in the morning. It's now 5 in the afternoon, and the men are still standing there. Why are they standing there? Because they're looking for work. They want to work. They're willing to work. I can see somebody come along and say, you're fools. Why are you standing there? Standing 11 hours under the heat of the eastern sun. What fools you are. Go home and lie in your bed. No. Listen, we need food for the table. We need food for the table. We want work. Isn't it amazing how you can come with the wrong impression for them, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how you can judge wrongly these men? Say, listen, these are lazy louts, standing idle. But friend, listen, they were standing idle. And he said, why are you standing idle all the day long? I'll guarantee not many of you would have stood at that, or me, would have stood for 11 long hours, hoping, waiting. We'll take 1 hour work. We'll gladly take it. But to look after a family. And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. And here's the confidence again, no contract. Because these men are, they're glad to have work. I tell you, they were so thankful. They were so thankful. And he says, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, whatsoever is right, let you receive. Well, the 12th hour had come, then the work was finished. And so the master, he sends his bosses out to gather in the men and to line them up. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to line the men up, for I'm going to pay them. And he says, I want you to take the last ones to come in. I want you to put them first, and then I want you to line them up, and they'll come, and those that came first, they just go down to the bottom of the line. They come last, and I'll pay. And so they come along to the desk to receive their wages, and the master reaches forth a penny for the 1 hour. And then there's those that have worked 3 hours, and the master hands them a penny, and those that have worked 6 hours, and the master hands them a penny. And I want you to notice, don't forget the men standing at the end, because they're watching. And they're watching the first boy, and my, he reaches out, and he reaches out his hand, and the master said, listen, I'll give you that which is right. And he hands him a penny for the hour's work. And the boy at the end, he's looking on and he says, listen, do you see what he got? He nudges his neighbor, do you see what he got? He got a penny for 1 hour. Ah, that means we get 12 pennies for 12 hours. In other words, these men had decided in their heads, listen, they would get 12 days pay for 1 day's work. That's what they were looking for. Because it was one penny for the day. And say they had it all worked out for it. And I tell you, they were rubbing their hands, and I can see them. Boy, I tell you, we are going to get 12 pennies. And they walked up. Many hours have you worked? Oh yes, you were the lads that I met first in the marketplace, and they handed them a penny. Look what the Bible says, friend. Verse number 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. That's how the Holy Ghost put it, the good man. And he hands them, my friend, the penny. And when they received it, they murmur against them. They murmur against them. They said, listen, it's not fair. We endured the heat and we endured the burden of the day. And that's all we get. Verse number 13, and he answered one of them and said, friend, I don't do you wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? In other words, you've got what's right. You've got what's right. I'm not doing you wrong. Do you remember the contract we entered into? And when I met you in that marketplace, and you and I talked together, you asked me for a penny, and I've given you exactly what you asked for. And what we agreed, the contract we entered into, none of those men had got a contract. But they had a confidence in me that I said, whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And listen, what I want to say in closing this morning is this. You and I need to be very careful. First of all, we need to be careful not to try to bargain with God. Because some of God's children bargain with God for them to get the best deal they can get out of God. And they think somebody else has got something more than them. The Bible tells us a story of a man, his name was Jacob, friend, and the word Jacob means twister or schemer. And if you look into Jacob's life, friend, you'll find that Jacob got a problem because he always tried to plan things out for his own benefit. He was always scheming, he was always planning as he would come out the best. And you read the story carefully, friend, and the more he tried to bargain with God, and the more he tried to scheme, and the more he tried to do the tricks behind the back, let me tell you, he got himself nothing else, only into trouble. And instead of getting the best deal, friend, he got himself into more twists and more turns and into more trouble, until one night the Lord wrestled with him, and the Lord touched him under his thigh, and the Lord broke him. And he cried out to the Lord. He said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Lord, please, take over. Take over. I'm not going to try to deal and bargain for me. Lord, I just want you to be willing to have me. And whatever you want, I want to do it. And I'll tell you this before God, friend. If you let go and let God have his way, God, who's the good man of the house, praise God, he'll take care of you. He'll look after you. You think you have to scheme and plan. I want to tell you this, the good man of the house, he cared for you. The second thought that I find in this story is this, be careful not to get caught up with others. Because I want to tell you, these servants here, these servants were content with the penny until they looked at the others. These people, my friend, had agreed. And whenever they got their eyes on others and they got their eyes on what others received, they were grieved within themselves, and the Bible says they murmured. But it says in verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers, it wasn't something that was forcing on them. That wasn't something, my friend, that he tried to cheat them out of something and tried to get the cheap labor. No, it says he had agreed with the laborers. Go down to verse 13. He answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Now, would you say, but I didn't know what they were going to get. And then they began to murmur. Now that reminds me of the story of Peter, friend. If you just put your hand there and go to quickly to John's Gospel, chapter 21. The Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he comes to meet his disciples and Peter, and he asks Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And three times Peter said one of the most beautiful things to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, you know I love you. I love you. And he said, Lord, you know all things. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, and because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest what's in my heart, Lord. Thou knowest that I love you. No more beautiful thing can a man say to the Savior than, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I know you're mine. But go to verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death that Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto Peter, he said, follow me. But then read the next verse. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following,
which also leaned on the breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?
Lord, if that's what I'm going to go through, if that's what I have to face, Lord, what about him? And so Peter got his eyes upon John. What about him, Lord?
Notice what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said unto him, if I will that John tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, you've got caught up with others. You've got caught up with others. Lord, if I'm having to go through this, well then, what about John? What about the beloved disciple? What about him? Friend, it is so easy to see and to get our eyes on others. Let me tell you, serving Jesus Christ is a personal thing. Follow thou me. That's what he said to you. That's what he's saying to me this morning. Very quickly, be careful not to bargain with God then. Be careful not to get caught up with others. Be careful not to have the wrong spirit. Because whenever Peter said to the Lord, he said, Lord, we have followed thee. What shall we have? In other words, what are we getting out of it? Let me say this, friend. You serve the Lord because you love him. That's why. You don't serve the Lord for what you or I can get out of serving Jesus, friend. Praise God, he's no man's debtor, the Bible says, and he'll give us 100-fold, and we shall inherit eternal life. But listen, friend, you serve him because you love him. The wrong spirit. What shall we have? Therefore, and here's the last thought. Go to chapter 19, verse 30. It says, and many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Go to chapter 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. In other words, then, be careful not to judge things as you see them now. Because, you see, remember, one day, it's not as they appear now. It is you will appear one day to be judged. We read this morning in 1 Corinthians, about every man's work shall be judged. And I believe that here were these men lined up, friend. And you would have thought, listen, the ones who came in first, they should have been standing in the front row. The ones who came last, they should have been in the end of the line, friend. But that's not what the Lord of this house did. He put those who came in last and he put them first. And you say, there's something wrong here. Let me say this, friend. When the Lord hands out his rewards on that day, I believe there's going to be surprises. Because it's not the one who gets the attention as far as even the church or the world is concerned that will get the greatest reward. If you and I were judging it, somebody said, listen, whenever you think down to it, it's those that have been out in the front line, and my, they're going to get the greatest award, or those great evangelists, my, they will get the greatest award. Let me tell you this, my friend. When the Lord comes to gather his jewels, he says, listen, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. Listen, don't you judge it as it seems to appear, friend. You leave that in God's hands. Because I believe, my friend, with all my heart, I believe that some of the Lord's unknown saints that nobody has ever noticed, nobody has ever seen, will receive some of his rewards. The woman gave a mite, but the Lord knew that she gave her all. Enjoy serving Christ, friend. It's not your name on a paper that's going to make it count. It's not the honors that the world gives that makes it count. It's pays to serve Jesus. But don't serve him because it pays. Serve him because you love him. And remember this. And whatsoever is right, that will I give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in the Savior's precious name that every one of your children in this service will vow before thee this morning to serve thee with all their heart. Help us, our God, not to serve thee because of what we can get out of it, but Lord, help us to serve thee because, as thy word says, I love him because he first loved me. Lord Jesus, I love thee because I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign, my gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, I love you not. Help us to put other things, O God, to the background of our love, but help us to love you first. Help us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And for those that are not saved, show them today there's nothing worth loving outside of Christ. For the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.